Well, the Bible is a lot of things. And one of the things that it is sometimes tried to be turned into is a scientific treatise of some sort, which is, well, it's a misuse of the Bible. It's not about physics. It's not about math. But what some people do is they then sort of pendulum to the other side and say that the Bible is really about nothing that you can prove or nothing that's empirically right or anything like that, which is equally untrue. What the Bible is particularly good at is helping us know what it means to be a human being. And a lot of the things that the Bible talks about have subsequently been demonstrated as true by empirical evidence in fields like psychology and sociology. And one of the ones that we've eventually caught up to is, as it says in the Bible, as a person thinks in their heart, so they become. Psychology will tell you that if you think about things in a particular way over and over and over again, eventually it will begin to affect how you interpret the world, interpret other actions, and how you act yourself. How we think affects what we do, and so how we think matters. And that's where the sermon title comes from. So that's how we should think. And it comes from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, to Philippians. And it comes to that last part where Paul goes through this list and says, finally, sisters and brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I like this list for a lot of reasons, not least of which is because it's a pretty good list of things to think about. We can always think about things that are unpleasant, that are evil, that are ugly. But very few of us enjoy that. What I like about this list is that it is not specific to a religious practice per se. Because you'll notice that Paul doesn't say, whatever is true as I've described it to you and as it is related in the books of the prophets or anything like that. Paul is saying that whatever is true, period. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, all of these things. Paul isn't saying, I want you to memorize a bunch of doctrine and think about it. Paul is saying, I want you to look around and see what is, and then do a bit of a sifting process and think about these kind of things. One of the things that we've discovered as human beings, I think more or less across the board, is that if we are willing to look for what's bad, we will always find it. I'm one of those people. At its best, and it occasionally is at its best in me, it's a spirit of critique. It's looking at what is and saying, what isn't working and how can we fix that? That's a positive thing. That's a good thing. At its best. At its worst, or more to the point, at its usual, is it's looking for something that's bad so I can focus on what's bad and then maybe feel superior about it, or maybe use it as an opportunity for me to demonstrate once again that the world is going to rack and ruin, or whatever else might be going on in my mind. And that's not good. We all know people. Well, maybe you don't, but I'm pretty sure you do. We all know at least one person who interprets everything that happens in the world as if it is somehow directed towards them and not in a good way. In the same way, all of us who drive, at least once in our lives, we've had somebody driving in front of us who's driving slower than we want them to. Maybe we're late for an appointment. Maybe we just want to get somewhere. Maybe we're just impatient. I don't know. But somebody's driving slowly in front of us. And generally speaking, what we do is we think, oh, I wish they'd drive faster. And then we think about something else. We all know people, at least one person, I would guess, that will say in all honesty that that person is driving slowly in front of them to annoy them. And on its face value, this is an absurd statement. The person in front of you doesn't even know who you are and probably isn't even aware of you, which is why they're driving in a way that you don't like. But these people authentically believe that someone who doesn't know them at all is doing something just to irritate them. And they interpret the world that way. These are very tiring people to be around, because most of us feel this need to try and convince them that they're wrong, and it hardly ever works. But we keep trying. It's sort of a triumph of optimism over experience, that we can somehow convince them that, no, this isn't the case. Well, did these people just appear this way? Were they born this way? No, they weren't. At least, probably not. Because I'm not talking about people who are, have a serious mental illness of paranoia and, someone who needs professional help or perhaps even institutionalization. I'm just talking about people who interpret everything as if it's somehow directed towards them. It's raining because they wanted to go outside. People get to this point because instead of looking for what is true and noble and admirable and thinking about those things, they have looked for and found the things that they don't like and thought about those. As we think in our hearts, we become. The more often you think about something, the more like it you become, whether you want to or not. Which is why paying careful attention to what you're thinking about matters. You can become a person who doesn't think that way anymore. The nice thing about this is that we can change how we think. It's not easy, especially if we've been thinking in a particular way for a long time. But we can change the way we think. But we can't change the way we think by gritting our teeth and saying, I'm not going to think that. It comes back to that, as I've mentioned before, the famous proverb that if you can stand in a corner and not think of a polar bear for 2 minutes, you'll get anything you want. Because you can't not think about things. It doesn't work. If you're thinking about something you don't want to think about, you can't not think about it, because that just means you're thinking about it. Only you're not thinking about it. And you get yourself into this crazy circle that children often do late at night when they can't go to sleep. And you talk to them and say, why aren't you asleep yet? Oh, I can't stop thinking about this, whatever it is. Something frightening or something good, doesn't really matter. And you say, well, think about something else. But I don't want to think about this. I know. Think about something else. You have to replace what you don't want to think about with what you do want to think about, because your brain, no matter how much you occasionally think it might be, cannot be a vacuum. It's always thinking. And Paul says, these are the things you should think about. Now, is Paul directing us to have some kind of peculiar Pollyanna view of the world that never sees evil, never sees what is wrong? Absolutely not. That's not what Paul's talking about here. What Paul is talking about is when you're just idly thinking, when you're driving along, when you're going for a walk, where does your thinking turn to? Does it turn to what a glorious day it is and how happy you are that it's fall and the leaves are turning? Or does it turn to the fact that it's too windy? That it's colder than you like, or warmer than you'd like, or something else that's unpleasant? Because it's easy to think that way. Many of us do. But we don't have to. And if we've developed patterns of thinking that take us in that direction, we don't have to stay in those patterns. If we've been thinking that way for a long time, think of it as a rut. It's hard to get out of a deep rut, but you can get out. And sometimes you'll find yourself falling back in, but you can get out again. And Paul says these are the things that we can think about. And when we do, this is part of what will make the peace of God be with us. We all want the peace of God in the sense that we all want to be peaceful people. I don't know anyone, really, who enjoys chaos or upset and wants it in their own life. I know some people that seem to enjoy creating chaos in other people's lives, but they don't seem to want it themselves. That's something altogether different. We want to be at peace. But how can we be at peace if everything we see is a reminder of how awful our life might be? Or is a reminder of how somebody else has something we don't? We can't be at peace then. If everything we see is somehow put into a scale that always finds us wanting, we're not going to be at peace. We're not going to be peaceful people. And we're not, to be honest, going to be the kind of people that others want to be around. We want to be the kind of people that see the best in situations. Not because we ignore what's wrong, not because we pretend it isn't there, but because we look for what is good in every situation. Those are the kind of people we want to be around. They're a minority, because I'm guessing that for most of us, we can tell you every person we've ever met who's like that, because they're unusual. I want to be one of those kind of people. And occasionally I am. And I find that those occasions are when I have put in the hard work of paying attention to what I'm thinking about when I'm taking a shower, when I'm driving here. Not when I'm talking to people, because then I tend to be focused on them and that's altogether different. I'm talking about in the quietness of my own brain, paying attention to what I'm thinking about. And it's shocking to me how often I'm thinking about what I don't have, what other people have that I should have, all of these things, none of which are in that list of Paul's. But the thing is, it's my brain. It's my thinking. I can change that. And it's hard work for some people. It's hard work for me. I don't know why. I'd like to blame somebody else. I don't know, my parents or environment. I grew up in Alberta. I'd like to blame the whole province of Alberta. But it's not their fault. It's mine. If I choose to look at what I don't have rather than what I do, if I choose to live a life that says, yeah, I'm okay, but I deserve more, from the perspective of I've somehow been ill-treated somewhere, I'm not going to be a very pleasant person to be around. I'm not pleasant to be around. I don't find myself pleasant to be around. So what do I do about it? Well, I don't just sit there and try not to think of that or not to think of anything. What I try to do, I've tried to think about just different things altogether. And for me, that doesn't work very well. And that's just me. But if you're like that, what I found works even better is that when I'm thinking of something that I find particularly aggravating, a politician has made some decision or something that I don't care for. And I can sit there and ruminate on this, which actually is a psychological term, by the way, rumination. Chewing over these things that we don't like and becoming more and more aggravated about something that we just thought of. It's very unpleasant. I can do that if I wish. Or I can instead think of this politician who did something I didn't care for and think of what have they done that I do like. Are they a complete waste of space as a politician? The chances of that are pretty slim. And instead of that, think of what they've done that I do like, which doesn't mean that what I don't like suddenly ceases to exist, but it means that I'm not thinking of that person as this category that is bad. I'm thinking of this person as a person, the same way I want people to think of me. As someone who occasionally does bad things, occasionally does good things, and tries to do good things most of the time. It makes me more tolerant, but tolerant in a good way, not tolerant in the sense that whatever you do is okay because you probably think it's okay. I'm not talking about winking at evil or what's wrong. But being a person of tolerance means that you extend the grace of allowing someone to be a full-fledged human being who's a bundle of contradictions just like you are, who does good things and bad things at the same time. James talks about the mouth as being this incredible thing that blessing and cursing come out of the same place. How can that be? It comes from being just a human being. But if we want to be the kind of person where more blessing comes out, Paul gives us at least one way to do it. Think about things that are true, that are noble, that are right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, wherever you find them. Wherever you find them. And think about those. Let those be the things that your mind turns to. How many of you, when I gave the example of a politician who does something you didn't like, your instant thought was politicians, fill in some bad word blank. Wouldn't you prefer to fill in those blanks with terms that are at least more neutral, if not actually positive? I think we would. We want to be people whose orientation to the world is one of goodwill, not suspicion. And the way we do that is by changing the way we think. And the way we change how we think is by thinking about better things. Yes, some of those better things come explicitly from Scripture. I don't want to minimize that. The fact that Paul doesn't say, think of the Scripture passage that you memorized this morning or that you memorized when you were a kid, doesn't mean that we shouldn't think of those too. Because those are true, and noble, and admirable. But let's try, particularly at this season of Thanksgiving, to reorient ourselves to those things we're thankful for, which are things that are true and admirable and noble and everything on the list. We're not thankful for evil. I'm not. I don't know anybody who is. Let's think about those things. Not in a way that blinds us to the reality of the fallen world in which we live, but likewise, in a way that doesn't blind us to the ongoing grace of God that's everywhere, in the actions of people, in the creation itself. There are many, many wonderful, lovely things we can think about. And when we choose to think of something else, let's not forget that we chose that. Not so we can beat ourselves up about our bad choices, but as a reminder that we can choose the other. That when we're just idly thinking about how annoyed we are about whatever it is, instead we can think about what a great time we had with that person. How much we appreciate where we live. For me, this time of year, all I have to do is think about fall. I love fall. And it changes how we think about everything. The Bible isn't just a history book, which is good because in many ways it's not a very good one according to how we judge history. The Bible is a book that reveals the character of God to us and helps us to see how we can become the people we were created to be. And we were not created to be people who have a crabbed and envious mind, but who approach the world with generosity and grace. And this is one of the ways we do it, by changing the way we think and by thinking about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. Today's a really good day to practice thinking these things. It's Thanksgiving. It's an opportunity to reflect on all the glorious things that we've received. But let's make it a habit as well. And this is how we will become to think. And this is what we will become. Amen.